Welcome back. Today we're doing something that separates a solid jungle roller from a proper. This tune is going off roller, second drop bass variations, because in this style, drop one is your identity. It tells the listener what the groove is, what the bass character is, and how the drums and bass handshake. Then drop two is your chance to level up the impact without writing a whole new tune. The goal is intentional evolution, not random sound design flexing. Here's what you're going to build. A clean drop 1 bass setup with a stable sub and a moving mid layer, then a drop 2 with 3 to 5 variations you can reuse in basically any roller. You'll do it with fast Ableton workflows, macros, chain switching, fills, resampling, and a bit of mid-side control so the second drop can feel wider and meaner without destroying your low end. Before we touch any variations, we're going to prep the bass properly. This is the big unlock. Step 0, split your bass into SUB and MID. Make a bass group with two tracks. One is SUB, one is MID. SUB is just the low fundamental, clean and mono. MID is your res, texture, movement, bite, all that good stuff. The reason we split is simple. The easiest way to make drop 2 hit harder is to change the mids aggressively while the sub stays consistent. If you try to improve the bass by changing everything at once, you usually just lose weight and groove. You can route both to a bass bus if you like for glue. Either group level processing or an actual bus track is fine. The main point is, keep control. Now step 1. Build a stable drop 1 foundation. On the SUB track, keep it boring on purpose. Load operator. Set it to a only, sine wave, level at 0 dB. As saturator with just 1 to 3 dB of drive, soft clip on. And make sure the output isn't clipping. Then EQ 8 only if you need it. Do not high pass the sub. If it's boxy, you can do a gentle dip around 200 to 300 Hz, but the biggest rule is, this track stays mono. Add utility, set width to 0%. If your utility has bass mono, turn it on. You're building the anchor. On the MID track, you're going for movement and character. Use wave eatable or analog for a wave eatable bass line res. Saw on OSC 1, saw on OSC 2. Detune them slightly differently and use a little unison, like 2 to 4 voices. Enough to feel wide, not enough to smear. Put a low pass 24 dB filter on it, add a touch of filter drive, then add movement. You can do this inside the synth or with auto filter. If you use auto filter, keep it as a low pass and give it either a little envelope amount or an LFO slowly modulating the cutoff over half a bar to 2 bars. Keep it musical. We're not doing wobble bass, we're doing roller hypnosis. After that, add a saturator on the MID, more than the sub, 4 to 8 dB, soft clip on. Then EQ 8, high pass around 80 to 120 Hz to stay out of the sub's way, and if your snare feels like it's fighting the bass body, a small dip around 180 to 220 can help, but I'm going to give you a more pro move later than just permanently scooping that range. Then control MID width with utility. Aim around 80 to 120%. If it gets facey or hollow, pull it back. Bigger on the meter is not always bigger in the room. Step 2. Lock drop 1 groove first. Do not skip this. Go to arrangement view and make a 16 bar drop 1 loop. Write a classic roller rhythm. Longer notes with little 8th or 16th pushes around the kick and snare, and leave tiny gaps so the drums can breathe. Especially before the snare. In jungle, the break is the lead. The bass is the engine underneath it. If your bass is constantly filling every microspace, the roll dies. Once the MIDI phrase feels right, consolidate it. Command or Control J. That consolidated clip is now your identity. Everything you do in drop 2 should sound like a more dangerous version of that. Not like you opened a new project. Now step 3. Build a variation rack with macros. This is where Ableton gets fun. On the MID track, group your auto filter, saturator, EQ, utility into an audio effect rack. Map the important stuff to macros. Here's a really usable set. Macro 1 is filter cutoff, macro 2 is resonance, macro 3 is movement, meaning your LFO amount or envelope depth, macro 4 is drive on the saturator, macro 5 is width, macro 6 is mid-bite, like an EQ bell around 1 to 2.5 kHz, a couple dB up, macro 7 is a notch cut somewhere in the 300 to 600 range to manage honk or mud, macro 8 is output trim, so you can loudness match while you tweak, and I want to underline something. You should a slash beer changes loudness matched, and with the drums on, always with the drums on, this genre is drum-led. If the bass only sounds better when you solo it, or only sounds better because it's louder, it's not actually a better second drop yet. Now we get into the actual second drop methods. And here's an extra coach rule before we start. decide what changes in drop 2. Pick one or two lanes only. Lane examples. Timbre gets more animated and bittier, and rhythmic punctuation increases with fills every 8 or 16. Great. But if you change timbre, rhythm, width, distortion, fills, and arrangement all at once, you lose the reference point and the listener stops feeling the upgrade. They just feel confusion. So choose your lanes. Method 1. Change movement, not notes. This is the most effective and the most jungle. Duplicate drop 1 to make drop 2. Keep the MIDI notes the same at first. Then automate your macros. In drop 2, push filter cutoff slightly higher overall than drop 1. Not fully open, just more. Increase movement depth so the bass breathes more. Add a little more drive, like 1 to 3 dB. But again, match the output so you're not being tricked by loudness. A really classic arrangement inside drop 2 is bars 1 to 8 are more open and more animated. Then bars 9 to 16 go into pressure mode. That means maybe a touch more drive, and actually slightly reduced width so it feels more centered and determined. A lot of people think drop 2 must be wider and wider and wider. Sometimes the nastiest thing you can do is tighten it. Method 2. Mid-layer switch with instrument rack chains. Turn your MID instrument into an instrument rack with two chains. Chain A is your drop 1 reese. Duplicate it for chain B and make chain B heavier. Small changes like wavy double position, detune, more filter drive. Then add pedal after the synth. Set it to OD or distortion. Keep the gain low at first. Tone adjusted so it doesn't fizz out. If you want extra grit, add redux very subtly. The keyword is subtly. You want texture, not broken audio. Then automate chain selector. Drop 1 lives on chain A. Drop 2 switches to chain B. This is a pro workflow, because it's instant recall and easy to level match the two chains. Level matching is the whole game with distortion changes. Method 3. Call and response fills at the end of phrases. Rollers thrive on small surprises, but they need to be phrase aware. Think in 4, 8, 16. Bar 1 is the statement. Bar 4 or 8 is the answer. Bar 16 is the stamp. So take the last bar of your 8-bar phrase and duplicate it. Change only the last two beats. Maybe a tasteful 16th roll. Maybe a quick octave jump in the MID only while the SUB stays steady. Or a tiny glide moment on just one note, short enough to feel like attitude, not like you changed key. Then add a special effect just for that fill bar, a quick filter sweep down, a tiny extra saturator push, maybe width slightly narrower for punch. Consolidate that fill into its own clip, so you can drop it in every 8 or 16 bars like a signature. And here's a mix-saving tip. Instead of permanently scooping the snare fundamental area with EQ, protect it with automation. If your snare body lives around 180 to 220, you can automate a very subtle bell dip on the MID only on the snare hits. Sock Ableton workaround. Put auto filter in bell mode on the MID chain and automate frequency and gain just for those moments. It's like micro ducking without turning everything into sidechain pump. Method 4. Resample your MID and do surgical edits. This is where it starts to sound produced. Make a new audio track called MID Resample. Set audio from to the MID track. Post FX. Arm and record 8 to 16 bars of your MID performance from drop 2, especially if you're doing macro automation. Now you can slice out the best bits, reverse a tiny chunk at the end of a phrase, do micro stutters on 16th or 32nd grid, and use fades to avoid clicks. Then process that resample lightly, EQ high pass around 100 to 150, so it never touches your sub, a couple dB of saturation, maybe an auto filter band pass for one bar like a telephone moment, and if you want ear candy, a tiny bit of echo on very low mix. Blend it quietly under the main MID, quietly. If you can clearly hear the resample layer as a separate thing, it's probably too loud. It should feel like the bass got more complex, not like a new sound joined the party. Method 5. Mid-side control so drop 2 feels bigger without wrecking the sub. On the MID track or bass bus, add EQ 8, switch to M/S mode. On the side channel, add a gentle shelf boost from about 2 to 8 kHz, like 1 to 3 dB. Tasteful. On the mid channel, keep your low mids controlled so you don't build up 200 to 500. Then after that, utility width automation. Maybe around 90% in drop 1. Up to 115% in drop 2. The rule is non-negotiable. Sub stays mono, widen mids only. If widening makes your reese go hollow, try a phase stability trick. Create a mono anchor and side-only fizz. Duplicate the MID into two layers. One is MID mono with utility at 0% width, heaping the core, like 200 Hz to 1.5 kHz. The other is MID sides, where you reduce the mid component in M/SAQ and boost the sides above around 2kHC, then widen. That way the width reads big, but the body stays solid. Now let's make sure this lands as a second drop in the arrangement, not just sound design. Two bars before drop 2, create a contrast window. You don't need a full breakdown. Even 2 to 4 beats is enough. Pull the MID down or band limit it. Keep the break rolling, maybe add a short riser or a reversed bass snippet. When drop 2 hits, sub returns, mid opens, drive is up. That contrast sells the moment. Then give drop 2 a little internal storyboard. For example, bars 1 to 4, widest, brightest, most animated. Bars 5 to 8, introduce one signature fill. Bars 9 to 12, chain swap or EQ emphasis swap, like shifting the bass speech from 300 to 800 body into 1.2 to 2.5 kHz edge. Bars 13 to 16, simplify slightly, tighten width, and do one final punctuation. And do one tiny drum edit to acknowledge the bass change. A ghost snare, a different ride for 8 bars, a break chop layer, or a ghost kick that mirrors one bass push. The listener subconsciously hears that the drums and bass are communicating, and the drop 2 upgrade feels earned. Advanced options if you want that darker, techie jungle pressure. Try parallel distortion on the mids with a clean blend. Send the MID to a return with pedal and saturator and an EQ high pass around 150 to 250. Blend 5 to 20%, or make a rhythmic grit lane that only appears in drop 2. Put a gate after the distortion on the return, and sidechain the gate from hats or a ghost click, so the grit talks in rhythm instead of smearing. If you want micro groove heaviness without messing your low end, do micro timing push and pull on the MID only. Keep the ASU B perfectly on the grid. Duplicate your MIDI clip and nudge a few MID notes later by 5 to 15 milliseconds, especially after the snare. It can make the groove feel like it's leaning back, heavier, while the sub stays punchy. This audio version is shortened for playback.